Good evening, church. It's good to see you this evening. Hope you're doing good. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little tired. I'll just go ahead and be honest. I'm not going to fake it. Listen to that first on Brother Nathan Ubab. He talked into a sermonette there. I don't know. As it went on, I thought, well, you know. But it sure is good to see you. I was thinking on the way in, I was just really looking forward to seeing each of you. And sincerely appreciate our Wednesday night crowd and you coming out and everything, and always try to pray that it's a special blessing to you. And again, I don't intend on going too long tonight. It's been a big day, a busy day, busy couple of weeks, and I get tired too, I'll just be honest. And one of the things too I've noticed, if I'm tired and kind of mind tired, the longer I go, the worse it gets. I think sometimes the shorter and sweeter it is, the better it is. But we've come here tonight to pray, and that's what I want to focus on again. I think that's a good topic to focus on for prayer meeting time, and of course Bible school next week. I've really been thinking about that, these young people, and getting to know them over the last 3 years, I guess now. I've seen a lot of familiar faces and kind of getting to know them. I know Chuck next door, talked to him, and I think he's planned on being here. Just looking forward to seeing those. And I think back, if you, those that might have been here, you think back to that last night, or the time when I've been able to talk to them about salvation, you know, there's a few hands that went up. And so they're considering. There's things that's on their minds, and we just pray that the Lord would do His work. We know we can't do it. It's all the Lord's, but just so thankful for what He does. But if you'd like to, I told Brother Norman we'd be in Romans chapter 8 for the most part, but if you'd like to, or we'll go through, or go to Philippians 4:6, if you'd like to start there. I just want to teach on, I guess you'd say, some types of prayer. I was looking at that, the topic of that, and just looking at a few different things that we do, or the way, a few different types of prayer. The three that I'm looking at tonight is petitional prayer, thanksgiving prayer, and intercession prayer. And I think that'll be good for us to think about. You know, I think as I've gone on, as I've gotten older and things, as life has gone on, relationship with the Lord, I think our prayer life should get a little deeper, a little bit more intentional. I think it's very important. I know sometimes it gets picked on, but with our little kids, young people, we have our prayers before we eat and what have you. And I think sometimes it might be a recited type prayer, but I think it's good that our young people get used to saying those things, get used to the different parts that are in a prayer, that they can learn that. And as they grow older, and it not be such a foreign thing to them to think about what prayer really is, and talking to the Lord. And all throughout the day, I'm thankful that if I need to, I can get away to myself, usually for the most part, and pray. And I tell you, that's the first thing we need to do. One of the reoccurring themes that you'll see tonight is everything. Everything. The big things, the little things, and you see the abilities that the Lord has. We shouldn't overlook anything. Because I think, you know, I've heard it said this, don't sweat the small things, and everything is small things. Well, I tell you, the small things of what I've found has grown legs pretty quick. You think, it's not that big of a deal. We can work through it. We'll just kind of move through it pretty quick or what have you. But that's where sometimes things can really hinder us and be held up. But the first topic, or the first prayer I wanted to mention tonight, is petition. In Philippians 4:6, it says here, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And just to slow down and look at that, but in everything, be careful for nothing. Very rarely do we hear that. Usually it's like anytime you're talking to somebody, be careful. If somebody's leaving you, be careful. That's kind of what you say. But what I think it's saying here is not to look past something that you need to pray about. I think the Lord really wants to help us in all aspects of our life, physically, mentally, spiritually, every aspect of our life. I know He has full control of that, and I think He wants us to recognize that in Him and what He has. And I believe that's why you'll see Paul saying that here in everything. If you if you bring everything to the Lord, or if you're talking to somebody, if it's your spouse or a friend or what have you, and they tell you, now I want you to tell me about everything. I want you to tell me everything that's going on in your life, everything that you're doing, or if you went on a trip, and they say, I want to hear everything. Don't leave any of the details out. Well, the good thing about that I find, the encouraging part, is that's somebody that wants to listen to you. Somebody that's going to take the time to hear what you have to say and not try to rush you along into anything like that. And I tell you, the Lord wants to spend as much time with us as we will give to Him. I know we get busy and run around and do things and get sidetracked many times and maybe not even think about praying through situations. Talking about being careful for nothing, that means don't be anxious. Don't be anxious in those things. But in everything by prayer, again, that's a request, that's a petition. And it also says in supplication, and that's a humble, earnest request. And remembering who we're talking to and really just taking that to heart and just knowing that He actually knows how we feel, what we're going through, at all points tempted as we, He actually knows. Sometimes we might be able to, or try to be able to explain something to a friend or someone that hasn't gone through what you're going through. And you might try to spend your time convincing. Well, you don't have to convince the Lord because He truly already knows. I think the more your prayer life goes with the Lord, the less surface talk that you have and the more just heart-to-heart that you have with Him. And I think that's so important. And I believe in being reverent, but at the same time, I believe you're having a conversation with somebody that already knows you. There's no reason to put on or anything like that because He already knows. But with supplication, and supplication with thanksgiving, and that's the next one, so I'll kind of let that sit for just a minute. But it says, but let your request be made known unto God. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. If we have it in our minds that He's just going to do what He's going to do, then there's really, Brother Dale, no reason to talk to Him like that, is there? I mean, you think about it. Just think about it with a person. Maybe if you have someone that you know, it's like, well, they're going to do whatever they're going to do, regardless of what I say, regardless of what I recommend, then you really don't have a relationship with that person. You really don't. It's just you're kind of taking into account that more likely, regardless of what you say or do, they're going to do what they're going to do. And there's no really emotion there. There's no tie there. And I tell you, that is not the relationship that the Lord wants us to have with Him. He wants us to have a conversation with Him, communicate with Him, and say, hey, this is what's on my mind. Not that you need to or have to do what I'm requesting, but Lord, this is how I feel about it. Isn't it good to know that He actually cares about how you feel? That's good, isn't it? He's willing to listen to you and say, Lord, this is how I feel about this. This is my heart of the matter. And Lord, I tell you, if it be thy will, maybe this would be a good thing. But we'll talk a little bit more of that once we get down in Romans. And Romans is one of the deepest books I've ever gone through in the Bible. But that was petition. When you're asking the Lord for something, you're making a request, so you're petitioning Him for something. But number two, thanksgiving, which actually should be number one. That's how we should always approach the Lord first, just being thankful. And that's rendering thanks for good received. And I think everybody here would say the Lord's been good to you. I know I can say that, Brother Dale. He's just been good to me. If I deserved it or not, and very seldom was it deserved. That's where His mercy and His grace really comes in. Look at it that way. But being thankful. When I see thankful people, that's people that I want to be around, spend time with. I'm fortunate in that I have some good folks I get to work with, good humble folks. I'm always looking forward to being around them. Their humility is something that draws me to them. I think that's an aspect that the Lord Jesus, when He was here, and now he handled business, don't get me wrong, but I think His humility is something that drew people into Him. I think you and I as His children are supposed to have that same part about our life, that we should be that way also, but being thankful. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18, when you look at that, I think you'll see it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And it comes down to this verse here. But it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I kind of have that highlighted, that first part there, in everything. I just don't know how easy that is to do sometimes. I know I've not faced a whole lot of things in my life. I've not faced things that you have or that you are. But the Bible is teaching us, Paul's telling us here, in everything to give thanks, every situation. You know, I tell you, Brother Bill, Preacher Bill called me or texted me a little while ago, let me know he wasn't going to be able to make it. But you know, Sister Sharon had been rear-ended in a car accident. No, she's not hurt or anything, but they're just trying to get the vehicle back home and things like that. But you think about situations like that. You know, the way my mind works sometimes is why? Now why? You know, how many times have you heard somebody say that? Now why did that have to happen? Now why? You never know sometimes what God is working out, some kind of arrangement, some kind of meeting. You just don't know. Different situations, you just don't know. A matter of fact, my best friend growing up, Aaron, I think his mom and dad, he told me one time, we're talking about how people met. His mom and dad met in a car wreck. That's how they met. And I thought, well, how interesting is that? So it's not all bad. Not all bad. But it says again, in everything, give thanks. You know, I look at it this way. Sometimes if I get down and I get discouraged, but then I look at situations that my friends, family, and other people I know are going through, and I get ashamed for feeling down. You know, we have emotions and feelings and things that affect us in our life. But I tell you, if you look around just a little bit, you don't have to look far. And I believe you could really find things in your life to be thankful for. And not take this time, this day for granted. My mind is staged on that right now. Just thinking about that. And I'll go into that in just a little bit also. But again, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Always remembering, I think, a good point here, when you look at not just the temporal side of life, but when you look at the eternal side of life, remembering what he did for us on the cross, we should be eternally thankful for that. We have something to look forward to, regardless how hard or regardless what we face in this life. But now, if you'd like to turn with me to Romans 8, I just want to look at verses 26, 27, 28, and again, probably more so definitely scratching the surface, because I know these are some of your harder verses. And I didn't know this starting out exactly, but I remember when I first started pastoring, what I wanted to do is go through the New Testament church epistles. When we were in school, you know, they'd always tell you, we're just giving you the skeleton. You got to go back and put the meat on the bones. You probably heard them say that several times, Brother Forbes and Brother Toll, different ones. And so that's exactly what I wanted to do, is go back. And I was thinking, you know, here's the thing, a new pastor, a young preacher starting out, I want to be able to go through the New Testament church epistles, because that's how the church is supposed to be ran. That's what you're supposed to do. But I'll tell you this, and if you've ever studied the book of Romans, it gets deep fast. It's not much of a slope. You just kind of go all in on the deep end. There's so much there. This chapter in total, again, just going over a few verses, but this chapter in total is talking about sanctification, the power of sanctification, and emancipated living or living free. And when you go from people who are used to living under the law to trying to understand what grace was like, no more sacrificing, that is a hard concept for a lot of people. In Galatians, you saw people trying to mix it. Well, we'll do a little bit of both. That way, this side won't be upset, this side won't be upset. We'll kind of do a little bit of both, but that's not how the Lord works. When he sets you free, you're set free. And that is absolutely the power of sanctification. But when you look at this topic here, this last one, intercession. I think this right here is something that's very, very important for us to look at, and that is you praying for somebody on their behalf, not just yourself. You're interceding for someone else. You see someone else's situation, if they can see it or not, if they understand it or not, you see their situation and you're burdened by it, and you want to intercede and you want to help them. maybe they're going a wrong path. Maybe it's a young person that's maybe newly saved, and maybe you're worried and concerned about them, and you're like, I'm afraid of this path that you're going down, and maybe they're not even praying for themselves. But the intercession prayer where somebody is praying for someone else, I think a lot about that. There's times during the day where I might feel kind of like it's just a dreary, kind of hard kind of day, and all of a sudden it seems like the sun comes out, things start getting a little bit better, and I can't help. Every time that happens, church, I'm like, somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying. And it's important to look at it that way. I remember Miss Bonnie, when I sat in the front in the choir, she would tap me on the shoulder and she'd tell me, she said, I'm praying for you. Different one, Sister Louise, she used to sit there also and tap you on the shoulder, I'm praying for you. And it's important that people know that. I tell you, that's some very encouraging words, but we need to back it up if we say it. It's easy to say. It's easy to say. And if time and situation allows, it's probably good just to go ahead and pray right then and right there. I think that's a good way to handle that. But when you look at intercession, it's talking about this here. This takes it a step further. You know, it's nice if you are in a position you can intercede for somebody else, you can help somebody else, but I want you to see the power of intercession of Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit himself. I'll read verse 25, we'll go down, but it says, but if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Talk about those things, maybe those petitions that we are heavy on our heart, something that's serious to us, and if it's serious to us, I believe it's going to be serious to the Lord, and I believe he'll help us one of two ways, work through that situation or remove that situation from our heart if we seek him first with it. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I've read that many times, that word infirmities, and I keep thinking that means the inside, the inner man, the internal part. And I thought I better look that word up today just to make sure I'm on the right track. But if you probably already know, but the word infirmity, it actually means our physical or mental weakness, our shortcomings, our weaknesses. And I tell you, we don't always feel on the mountaintop. We don't always feel energized. We don't always feel strong. But we're supposed to move forward and give thanks in everything. Now, Thanksgiving is always supposed to still be there when we're asking for our petitions. But likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We can spend a lot of time thinking about things, trying to figure things out and work things out in our mind. Maybe orchestrate a path that we want the Lord to take for us. Maybe, Lord, this would actually be the best way to do this and share that with him. I don't know how much he takes that into account, but he does listen to us. I believe that with all my heart. But a lot of times or sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we revert back just to praying for the Lord's will, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what you'll find, what I find in these verses is that you're actually still spending time with him. You have that time of communication. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. A lot of times we don't know what to say. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, that to me is extremely powerful. We all go through different situations, and I'm always seeking the Lord's guidance. If it's matters of the church, matters at work, family matters, whatever it may be. But I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of times I don't know what I would do to fix a situation. The flesh is like this. Hey, I'll tell you what to do. I mean, the flesh is usually the first to jump out and say, I got a few ideas if you're running short. I'll tell you exactly what to do. But see, that's not how we are supposed to be as a child of God. And I know we know that. But it goes on to say here, but when we don't know how to pray, what to say, the Holy Spirit says, if you will come up and get close to me, you'll stay next to me, I'll pray for you. Now that's as good as it gets. I love hearing when somebody says they'll pray for me and that they're praying for me and that support, that help. But you imagine, this is the Holy Spirit saying, I'll pray for you. I'll make that intercession. You just come up next close to me and let me take care of things for you. And I tell you, I thought about this as the choir was singing tonight. The Holy Spirit says, listen, I can articulate this probably a whole lot better than you can. And he can. When you think about the power of the Holy Spirit, I know with that power, he wants unity. I know there will be division with the world. I understand that. But you think about your Christian family, brothers and sisters, your church. He wants unity. And when I pray to the Lord and I'm seeking His will, and from His view, to my view is up and out. His view is looking down on every single one of us. That's a different view. They call it bird's eye view when you're taking pictures. But I think about that a lot, how the Lord sees us. When He looks down, He sees this entire planet, every single thing in it. The animal crossing the road that you didn't know that you were going to get close. I mean, He sees all that stuff. You think about needing to go this way or going that way, traffic jam, things slow down, and I need to get there. Well, He saw whatever it was around the corner that we can't see. But when you look at it more importantly or more detailed than that, He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows every heart here. He knows how to deal with those things. And I tell you, He can bring those together. He can work those things out. Again, He knows how we're made. He knows our frames. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to bring those things together. And again, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And it goes on to verse number 27. And said, and He searcheth the hearts. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit. This brings everything together. He knows our hearts. Not only that, He knows what God wants. He knows what God wants in our life. There's no better mediator than that. When you start talking about bringing that together. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I can get things wrong. The best that I can do, the best that you can do, and you think logically, and I think a lot of times that's what we try to do. What's the logical answer? Logically, this is what makes the most sense based off of what I know. What the Lord is saying here, he don't deal in logic. He specializes in anything that's not logic. That's the beautiful thing about faith. He just wants you to do one thing. Just trust Him. Let me handle all the details, all that kind of stuff. You just trust me. There's a lot of blessings in details if the Holy Spirit is in control, but there's a lot of headaches in details if we try to take control of that of ourselves. But according to the will of God, that's the important part of this. That's what you're going to see in verse number 28. And I tread lightly with that verse. People will have different point of views on that, different feelings on that, different life experiences on that. And how could this be a good thing? That's God's. The details are with Him. There's three things that I see in this verse: His will, our good, and His purpose. I've heard Brother Bradley say this many times. It's for His glory, for our good, but for His glory. And there's so much in that statement. But verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, called according to His purpose. I mean, if you really slow down and look at this right here, really all you and I need to focus on is just loving Him and staying close to Him. I know that sounds simple. I know that sounds frivolous. You say, well, you say that all the time. Stay faithful, stay close. But I'm telling you, if you're not staying close to Him, then you're not going to be faithful. And if you're not faithful, that's when things are going to start going down for the child of God. I've seen it happen too many times. I don't care how strong we are today. If we get outside of that influence tomorrow, trouble's coming. You can see it. You can just pretty much mark it down. That's what's going to happen. But then we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love Him tonight? I don't think anybody say that they don't. Are you called? Are you the called? Have you accepted the Lord? But again, according to His purpose. See, when I read these verses here, I see His will and His purpose. It's not Jason's will. It's not your will. Yeah, I don't see our will. Now, we get to make our petitions known, but it's His will and His purpose. But the beautiful thing about it is, though, the part that's right there in the middle, it's for our good. That's where many times we're not going to understand it. We can rack our brains over things. There's situations in my life I've gone over many times. Now, why did this have to happen like this? Stuff that is long gone. Stuff I've forgotten about. Sometimes it'll come up and I'll say, well, now why did that happen like that? But you know, if I move past that and I start thinking about where I am today, where maybe some of those paths or those closed doors led to, it's like, well, you know, I'm okay with that. I don't understand the why, but thank God I'm where I'm at today. So he took care of those things and he worked those things out. And I just thank God for how he does those things. But think about that, the three types of prayer, the petitional prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving, and this intercession prayer. I think that's a big one. There's a whole lot more that could be said on that. You think about our young people coming in into Bible school. That's one of the things I really wanted to tie in with this. As you think about it, those youngsters, they don't know how much they need the Lord. They don't understand that. One of the truest statements I've ever heard is the statement, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you're missing if you don't know. There's things out there where I didn't know I needed to do this. I didn't even know that I needed to know that. But that's the importance of you and I, those that are teachers and preachers, those that are mentoring our young people. That's very important. They don't know. They don't know what they don't know. But I hope we really take that consideration for next week. I know it's going to be a lot. I know it's a busy time, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to talking to these youngsters and looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do. I tell you, I feel His presence. I feel like the services have gone really well and been good response to things and questions and side conversations about things. And I really thank the Lord for that. And I'll ask, does anybody have anything they'd like to say tonight? I'll stop there.
I have heard a message on and preached on verse 28.
Yeah.
And then under it, it